I need some around the behind Charlie there so I can just get a little. Are we rolling? I see nobody in the sound booth, so I don't know. All right, praise God. Good morning, everybody. No announcements, no testimonies. I'm cooking. Hallelujah. And that smell of onions wasn't me. But that's the smell of cooking. Praise God. I want to speak this morning and continue along the lines of faith, what we've been speaking. Who here was able to get here when Pastor Ephiel was here? Raise your hands. When Pastor Ephiel came, I already had the message for that week, which I was going to speak on faith. But he he had a word that when he came from Zimbabwe, he came with a word about the name of Jesus, which he preached, a pastor on his church and Pastor Jerome's church. But when he came here, I said, Ephiel, I'm going to put a demand upon our friendship. I want you to preach faith. So he preached faith, as I asked him to, because I wanted a man like that to begin to trigger us and launch us in a direction where we need to begin to understand what faith is. And I just want to say this, going to make a bold statement to begin with. Most Christians do not understand biblical faith. They're still mixed up in their emotions. They don't know the difference between their spirit and their soul. Therefore, they don't know when they're hearing voice, God's voice or their own voice. They don't know the difference between their own soul and the voice that it has, or whether it's the voice of God within their spirit. I'd like to remind you, you are a triune existence. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a spirit. Your primary person is a spirit. Your flesh has been promised 70 years or 80 if you've been good to your mum. Don't forget that bit. If you want to live a little longer, you've got to be good to your mum and dad. And so the reality is your flesh is going to perish. It's going to go to the ground, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But your spirit man is eternal. Whether you know the Lord Jesus or not, your spirit man is eternal. It will either be eternally with the Lord or eternally separated from the Lord, which is a place of anguish. So let's just think about this. Now, you may remember, last week I spoke about, let me say this again, the natural man, let's all say this, the natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him. This is why people, when they say that the average age, the people in America stop going to church and begin to very much doubt their upbringing in church, is when they're sophomores in college. And that's when they begin to turn away from the things of God, because that is a time when they begin to think they know something. And of course, they do know something, not much, but they do know something. And the reality is that natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. Okay. So therefore, it doesn't matter having anything to do with your intelligence, has nothing to do with your upbringing. Help me now, folks. Let me just say this. If you have an excuse for your upbringing, for a reason why you're not following God, it is totally invalid before God. So let's realize that it doesn't matter how bad your upbringing was, it is completely invalid before God. So it doesn't matter if you were like Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Any of you had that experience? Okay. Or even if you were then put in prison for a false accusation of rape that you never did. Anybody had that experience? No. And then you were promised by the people you were in there with that they would let you out. And of course, they forgot and let you down. Why? Because the Bible says, cursed is every man who trusts in the flesh. Including your own. Are we okay here? Can we do this? Can we do this morning? You're here, so I need a bit of response or something here. Because I'm going to do this morning, and I'm looking forward to it. Cursed is every man who trusts in the flesh, including and especially your own. Somebody say, ouch. You have no confidence. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. And the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 says, cursed is every man who trusts in man, including yourself. Okay. So therefore, we need to realize that the purpose of faith, what does Mark say when he said, therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What has that got to do with God? Okay? So therefore, faith is what God has gifted us with to be able to communicate with him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm going to say this again and again. You guys who go out to work every morning, if you're not going out to work by faith, then what is the use of the money you earn? Because if you're not working by faith, you're therefore not providing for your family by faith. Therefore, if it doesn't please God, how can it please your wife and your children? Is that a very logical thing to say? So if you're not working by faith, if you don't get up in the morning and go to work by faith, then what you earn, the Bible calls it a bag full of holes. Do we all know that scripture? When it talks about you are hungry, you know, you eat but you're still hungry, you clothe but you're still cold, you drink but you're still thirsty, and you earn wages and put it in a bag full of holes. And this is why so many people are in such financial distress, is because they don't live by faith. They live by their own ability. We live in America. I want to encourage you, don't live by the American dream because it has a provision. Live by faith because it can't fail. All right, so what I'm going to touch on this morning. The message this morning is called The Sound of Faith. The Sound of Faith. Let's start by going to Isaiah 54. I hope you got Bibles. If you haven't got a Bible, then somebody needs to shovel around and find them under the chairs there. You need to be reading yourself this morning. You young people get in the habit of reading the Bible and bringing an offering to church. Are you listening to me, young people? Get into the habit of reading a Bible and bringing an offering to church. Isaiah 54, those of you that may not know the book of Isaiah that well, Isaiah 53 is the most explicit chapter on the prophecy of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it's very clear that Isaiah 53 talks about every single thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. Right, then Isaiah 54, it begins this way. Are you ready? Okay. Are you there? Okay. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Who's been listening to some of the messages I've been preaching lately about the promises of God did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith? Hebrews chapter 4. Remember I used the demonstration of a cup of dry coffee where you just put the actual coffee in the cup instead of brewing it first, and how I used a packet of dry pancake mix. Those things are designed to sustain you, but they will not sustain you if they're not mixed with water. Is that true? It doesn't matter what God's promise is. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. If you don't mix it with faith, it will profit you nothing. Is that okay? I can stand here and tell you, I can stand here and prophesy over every one of you and say, my God, I don't know about your God, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I have the authority to prophesy that, but if you don't mix it with faith, it won't help you one bit. You've heard a few of my faith stories over the years of seeing God's providing for us, Wendy and I, with our five children, 22 years without an income, 22 years without a salary, and God has provided for us. So this subject I know, and I have the authority and faith to prophesy this over people, but if people don't mix it with faith, you're going to drink a dry cup of coffee. Are we okay? Right. So in other words, let's face it, guys, in your life, one way or the other, you're being fruitless. Help me. Please, young ladies, stop fiddling with your nails while I'm talking. Thank you. Very good for you to help listening. Somewhere in your life, the first commandment of God, which would be fruitful and multiply, somewhere in your life, it's not happening. Help me. People's monies are a mess. People's health is in a mess. People's relationships are in a mess. Their marriages are in a mess. Come on. Somewhere in our lives, myself included, God's command of being fruitful and multiplying is not happening in your life. Because somewhere along the line, you're not mixing God's promise with faith. So let's look at biblical faith. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. So what's it saying? Sing, O you fruitless one. It's a new Christmas carol. Sing, O you fruitless one. Can you hear what I'm saying? In whatever, this is not talking about having babies. This isn't talking about having babies. This is talking about wherever you're barren. Help me now. Am I starting to preach reasonably good? Because it's a strange thing preaching to only a quarter of the congregation. This scripture is talking about wherever you are fruitless in your life, wherever you are dry in your life, wherever you are barren in your life. Are we okay? So in other words, if you don't have a rocking marriage, you need to listen to this. If you don't have a great future in your spirit man, you need to listen to this, or 25 years from now, you're going to be just as barren as you are today. Help me now. Young people, if you're broke, I don't care. Me, it never bothers me that young people have got no money. It's good. It's a good learning curve. But the reality is, if you're my age and you're broke, you've missed God. Can you hear me? If you're my age and you're broke, if you're my age and all your relationships suck, if you're my age and you don't have a future, you have missed God, because God promised that he would bless you coming in and you're going out. He would bless you in the city. He would bless you in the store. He would bless your kneading bowl. He would bless the work of your hands. He would bless the fruit of your womb. He would bless everything you do. Are we okay? That's God's promise. And if you're not living in it, then I encourage you to listen this morning, make notes, buy the CD, and listen to it till you get the biblical faith. Biblical faith is only of the heart. The Bible says the power of death and life is in the tongue. The scripture says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Let's just cover this for a quick second here. What does it mean to be saved? What it means, hallelujah. It means many things. When you get saved, as us Christians call it, you are born again. Your spirit that was born dead to God, separated from God, is now made alive to God, and now you are in a communion with God in your spirit man. Your spirit man has been made alive. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now in your mortal body. Are we okay? But nothing has changed in your soul. Now, what is your soul? It is your will, your emotions, and your intellect. Well, I'm going to say this every week for a few weeks, so please memorize it. It is your will, your emotions, and your intellect. That's what needs to get saved. How many men, don't raise your hands, still get angry? It's your emotions need to get saved. How many men still struggle with lust? Your emotions need to get saved. Are you listening to me? How many women panic every time their child falls over? You need to get saved. Your emotions are out of order. Come on. That's what it is. Your emotions are out of order. If you are fearful, your emotions need to get saved. They need to get saved. How do they get saved? It's very clear, but there's several scriptures, obviously, but the most important one to me this morning is in the book of James. The scripture clearly says, with all teachableness, with all meekness, with all teachableness, receive the engrafted word, not the visited word. Do you know what grafted means? It means you take the branch off of one tree, which is who we are, and you branch it into Israel. Do you all know that theology? In other words, we are only fruitful because God has grafted us into the original tree, which is Israel. Now, if you graft a branch into a tree and then halfway through the season, you decide to take it off to see how it's doing, you have to go back to square one. You can't take it off and then expect that 6 months worth of grafting to just instantly happen. Are you with me? with all meekness, teachableness, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your emotions, your intellect. How many of you people, I definitely don't want to see a show of hands here, may somewhere in your life not think you're very smart. You may have been persuaded by somebody that you'd never do anything in your life. It's because they tried to destroy your soul through words that broke you down. It's not true. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I can have the mind of Christ. If I can have the mind of Christ, I am a long way from dumb. Okay? You need your intellect to get saved. I said something last night I've never said before. I want to say this to you. God does not speak English. He doesn't speak American. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Gaelic. He doesn't speak Hebrew. Well, he does, actually. He spoke to Paul in Hebrew. But the reality is, stay with this thought, God speaks his language. And if you don't know his language, then how do you know you're hearing his voice as opposed to your own soul? When you know his language, his word, then his word is what is speaking to you. Are you okay here? Okay. Now, this is my point. You need your soul saved. I believe that we're mostly in this room born again. So now my spirit man, which is who I really am, because my outer man is perishing, but my inner man is renewed day by day. We just sung that song, you know, from the inside out, okay? So everything's from the inside out. The natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. This is why all these intelligent people in different seminaries or in different universities are arguing about God, but they can't find the answer because they're doing it with their natural man, their outer man. Therefore, it's just an exercise in intelligence. It's a complete waste of time. This is why so many people from simple backgrounds can understand faith, because their soul isn't jammed up with useless information. Now, let me get something right. You need your soul and your intellect to be an engineer. You need your soul and your intellect to be a teacher. You need your soul and your intellect to be an architect. But the reality is, you need your spirit man and your spirit man alone to understand the things of God. And then your spirit man needs to communicate with your soul. Are we okay so far? I am going to roll this morning. If you're in a hurry, that's the door. Right, here we go. You've all come in through the snow and the ice and the rain. You are the brave ones. So sit here and listen to this word. I'm going to get excited in a minute. Hold on. Now, here we go. Whatever area you're in and you are fruitless, it is your choice from this day on. Are you ready for this? If you don't want to hear it, you better leave, because I'm going to hold you accountable to this word. And you better hold me accountable. Fruitlessness in this life to the Christian is a choice. You have to choose to be fruitless. It's your choice. Sing, O barren, thou that hast not borne. Okay, here we go. The first sound of faith. The message this morning is called The Sound of Faith. I like it. The Sound of Faith. And the first sound that you need to get used to and that you need to communicate with God with is the sound of praise. If you aren't a praiser, you are no way living by faith. Come on, help me, somebody. If you are not a praiser, you are in no way living by faith. How can you be living by faith if you're not a praiser? Because are you only praising when you're feeling good? That's not faith. You should be praising God at all times. His praise should continually be in your mouth. Hallelujah. And I want to say something. Praise is not quiet. Are we okay this morning? We are only a fifth full in the church this morning because of the snow. So therefore, I'm going to get loud to fill the whole building up. Are we all right? You see, praise is loud. Praise is not... That's not praise. It might be worship. Might be adoration. But it's not praise. Praise is yada. It's a word that it talks of lifting the hands, lifting the voice, making noise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What does that mean? Praise is an act of your will. Are we okay? Praise is not a spirit. Will everybody write that down for once? Praise is not a spirit. Praise is an act of your will. Worship is a spirit. The glory is a spirit. But praise is an act of your will, an act of your soul. Therefore, praise can be done intelligently. Praise includes my entire soul. It includes my will, my emotions, and my intellect. Are we okay? Now, we've been singing a song this morning, one of those delirious songs. What was it? The first song. No, it wasn't delirious. It was the Vineyard song about lifting your hands. Bless his name. How does it go? How's that line go? Yeah. Yeah. I still haven't got it. I haven't got the tune. Somebody sing it. Come. Louder. Lifting holy hands. Only somebody who is not worshiping God intelligently could keep their arms down while they sing that. How can you say lifting holy hands and not lift them? Come on, help me, somebody. How can you say it and not do it? It's because you're not praising God intelligently. You're praising God by rote. Come on, let's get mad at the pastor this morning because I'm in a fighting mood. You're in a fighting mood. If you are sitting there and singing about raising your hands and you've got your hands in your pocket, you are contradicting your own confession. It's absurd. God, man, that I was talking last night about that old song we used to sing in Jerusalem. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hand in the holy place. But you're all sitting on your butts when you said you would be standing. That's my point. You got to worship God intelligently. You must bless the Lord, oh my soul. And if your soul is not involved with the praise of God, then you are doing it religiously. You're doing it religiously. I told you about when we were when we used to live in Jerusalem and we did the Palm Sunday parade. I mean, if you're going to do a Palm Sunday parade, please do it coming down the Mount of Olives, which we did. We all met at Bethany and they had this mountain of palms, bigger than this platform. Palms, like, so I found the biggest one. It must have been 8 foot long. It was beautiful. Not like them stupid little things where you get, no. So I've got an 8 foot palm and my arm outstretched is 8 foot. So I am 16 foot. I'm waving this palm and we had what, 7 guitars in that? We were put at the back of the procession because we were the Pentecostal religious ones, you know. So all the people are walking down the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley and into the gates of Jerusalem holding a palm and being miserable wearing black. I wanted a freak. I think I just did, actually. So they're going, oh, praise the Lord. He cometh, Hosanna. I mean, go figure, man. Then we come at the back, and we're dancing and singing and praising God, and the guitars are playing, Hosanna, Hosanna. And we're getting loud. I mean, I'm outside, for God's sake, in the streets of Jerusalem, celebrating Palm Sunday, and suddenly one of the religious leaders of Jerusalem shut us up. They literally shut us up, just like they did in the days of Jesus. And the leader of our group was arguing with him. He got up on these step ladders going, shut up, stop it, don't. Look, there's Elvis. Now, I want to say something. The voice of faith, the sound of faith, when it comes to praise, is loud. Musicians, pay attention. I want to hear some high praise in this church. I want to hear some high praise. I want to hear something where people can't hear me. That's a challenge. All right, praise is loud. In other words, you're feeling miserable, you're feeling depressed, you're having a bad day. What's the first thing you do? Go quiet. Come on, somebody help me. You're in the mully grubs, you're sitting in the corner, head down, quiet, right? Right? The first thing the devil wants to do to stop you from living by faith is keep you quiet. Instead of just allowing your voice the expression. Yeah, and you know, many times I'll be driving down the road and you have no idea what's going on in my head. And suddenly I go, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody knows what's going in. It could be a bad thought going in my head. Doesn't matter. I'm still going to praise God. It could be a good thought going through my head. I'm still going to praise God. Are you okay? Keep praising God with your soul. Okay. The second sound of faith. Are you ready? You need to hear God, and to hear God, you need to be quiet. Are we all right here? You need to praise Him. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. But now I'm in there, now I need to hear Him. You see, I need to hear the voice of God. When the angel came to Mary, said, you know, what was the greeting? Blessed art you among women, for you have found favor. You have found you are highly favored, the angel said about Mary. Now, I'm going to say this to you all this morning. Every one of you that is born of God is blessed and highly favored like Mary was. Are you okay? Every single one of you is blessed and highly favored. And you need to hear that voice. Now, if any of you remember Salty the singing songbird, you would remember, did he sing that song about the earthquake and the still small voice? Remember that? Wasn't that Salty? The still small voice, ting, still small. See, it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the whirlwind. It was in the still small voice. Jesus wants to speak to you in a still, small voice. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Are you in me? Faith comes by hearing. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear His promise. One of the most famous things I always remember, I told you the story about how we bought Zion Prayer Mountain, 140 acres up there in Greene County. And what happened is the day we went to look at the place with the farmer, we got there, the house was unbelievably a wreck. The barn was outstanding, hallelujah. But it looked like they kept the cows in the house and that they lived in the barn. It was that bad. But I'm going to say this. I stood at the edge of the little parking lot there and I looked down across the Catskill Mountains where the 42 goes through there. I don't know if you know that gap, but as the mountains go down, you can see about four different layers of different ridges as the 42 goes through there, and I looked down there and the Holy Spirit gave me a word. I looked for a man to make up the hedge, to fill the gap, to save the land. And that's the word He gave me as I looked down that gap. He spoke to me in the still small voice of the Bible. And then He spoke to my spirit man and said, buy it. Two words, buy it. I never did write it down. I want you to hear this. I heard God say, buy it. And so I then began to talk to the guy. Remember, I had $100 to my name and no credit rating. I didn't have a bank account. I couldn't get a Sears credit card because I was new in the country. I hope you can hear this, young people. I am preaching to you this morning. Because if I still know you when you're in your 40s and 50s and you have not got the victory that Jesus has promised you, I'm going to say, well, do you remember that snowy day back in 07? You obviously weren't listening. He wanted $140,000 for that property, and he wanted $25,000 down. I had $100, no support, no income, yada, yada, yada. You know the story. I say it quick, but think about it sometime. Think about it sometime. I had three babies, and the reality is I was a long way from home. Buy it. How much do you want for it? $140,000. Okay. How much deposit do you want? 25 grand. Will you accept 10? No. And it's interesting how you negotiate these things even though you're broke. You see, because at the time of the negotiation, I didn't have $25,000 faith, but I had $10,000 faith. Are you with me? So in the end, the negotiation failed, and it went to $25,000. But of course, by the time he books it back and forwards over a few days or a couple of weeks, I guess I just began to let my faith muscle work a little bit, and I increased my faith and said, okay, we'll buy it, 25 grand down. And he said, I'll hold the mortgage for you, obviously, because the bank wouldn't, thank God. 10% interest, and I'll hold it for 3 years. So in case your math isn't that good, I'll tell you what that meant. $50,000 a year. Or, to put it another way, $1,000 a week was the mortgage. And that was just us. It was just Wendy and I and the kids. So I want you to listen to this because I know what I'm talking about. God said, buy it. That's the end of the conversation. Same thing when God spoke to me, as you know, about my son going to Iraq. You can worry about him as soon as I worry about you. And when I heard that, there wasn't a nanosecond that I ever once was concerned about my son in his two trips to Iraq in the United States Marine Corps. Why? Because I heard God in his quiet voice and faith came. Are you with me? You need the voice of praise to get you into the presence of him who speaks to you quietly. Okay, let's go on to the third. In fact, let's turn to Mark chapter 5. This is good preaching, guys. I don't care what you think. Are you with me? Mark chapter 5. Beginning verse 24. Are you there? Why not? Mark 5, 24. Are you there? So Jesus went with him, Jairus, his daughter, was dying, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things. How many of us here have suffered from 12 years, eh? Come on, somebody think about that. I'm not saying that, you know, you've got diabetes or you've got... I don't even want to think about it. I'm not much good at these words. I don't speak Latin. And the reality is, if you've got some kind of a disease that you've had for years, have you stopped believing to be healed? Most people have. And they go to the physicians, and what do the physicians do? They can't help, and now you're broke. So you're sick and broke. In fact, it says here, they couldn't help. In fact, they made it worse. You see, the system of this world is designed to keep you in bondage. Somebody get with me this morning. It's supposed to keep you in bondage. But you know what? I was brushing my teeth the other night. Something really bugged me. When was that, Wendy? Friday night? Something really bugged me. It bugged my spirit man. My spirit man was annoyed. And it was bugging me, and I couldn't get over it, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm sitting there, I'm standing, cleaning my teeth, it's time for bed, I'm leaning against the door, brushing my teeth. I mean, what's the body language, eh? Leaning, brushing my teeth, mad. So I found out what it was later. And I'm brushing, and I'm thinking, do you know what? This life without faith sucks. This life without faith, I don't like it. I don't even want it. What is there outside of faith? What is there outside of a life of trusting God, of following Jesus, of knowing that He is your all in all, that you are complete in Him? What other life is there, for God's sake? There is no other life. And what we do, you know, how many of you young people, okay, let's bash the youngsters for a couple of minutes. Hold on, put your helmet on. Oh, I've got a life outside of the church. I've got a life. Oh, I want to have fun too. None of you have had as much fun as I'm having now. This is fun. Are you with me? There is no life outside of God. You're complete in Him. There isn't Jesus plus the movies. There isn't Jesus plus the mall. There isn't Jesus plus rugby. Yeah. You should have seen me yesterday watching my old team. The Wasps were playing yesterday. I'm down there as usual watching it on my own. And as I'm watching the game, this guy scores a most incredible try, man, from his own 22. They were in defense. They took a break. The guy, outran one guy. He took a pass inside. Then that guy passed it back. Then the guy gave an over-the-head basketball, you know, one of them old Wilt Chamberlain lobs or whatever it was. Kareem lobs. And the guy scored right into the post. It was so exciting. I leapt off of the leather couch, stood up in the middle of the room, shouting and clapping on my own. Now, if I can do that for rugby, watch me for Jesus. Do you know what? We need to cut loose in this church. This church is getting stiff, man. We're getting stiff. I've banned rain down for a few months, by the way. Because that's the only thing that stirs you up. Find something else, like try Jesus. Mark chapter 5. Yeah, we're just dancing to the music. Dance to the music. You remember that one? Yeah, and you ain't old enough. You remember that one, Wendy? Help me. Thank you, Elaine. I thought it was a bad impersonation, but you got it. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and had no better, but rather grew worse because they'd been practicing on her. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Okay, the third sound of faith is your confession. Are you with me? The Bible says, hold fast to a good confession. Hold fast to a sound confession. Example. Okay, let me put it this way. Let's go back to Mary a minute. Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. Now we need to touch on this a little bit. Let's understand the entire principle of faith is based on seed and seed alone. How much do I have to go there? In the beginning, when God was hammering Adam and Eve and Satan, what did he say? Her seed will bruise yours. The battle was over the seed. Help me, guys. The battle isn't over the fruit. It's over the seed. Because without the seed, there is no fruit. And then Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, just before this story, he says, the parable of the sower sows the word. Then he says, if you do not understand this parable, then how are you going to understand the Bible? Right? So you must understand the parable of the seed. Okay, the scripture says, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So when you're born again, you receive the seed of Jesus Christ in your spirit. Are we okay? Now, when Mary said, Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word, seed. Then it said, because the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you and you will conceive. When she believed, she conceived. She didn't believe and give birth. Are you with me now? She didn't believe and give birth. She believed and conceived. Now, what is one of the most noticeable things I've found amongst American Christians? This is going to sound really mean, but I'm an American by choice, and to be quite honest this morning, I really don't care. One of the most noticeable things I've noticed these days in this area with the Christians is they're miserable. They don't have joy. They're looking for happiness, and happiness only comes from happenings. So therefore, when happenings are bad, happiness doesn't exist. Are you with me here? So therefore, why do you think young people are unhappy? Because they've got no teenagers. Why do they sit there all dressed in black looking miserable? Why? It's because they are. It's because they're not living by faith. It's because they don't have a vision. They don't believe they're going anywhere. They're just tired of living the life because they're not kids. They're not adults. They've got no money. They can't go anywhere. They're under the dictatorship of their parents, and they're just stinking miserable. Just like Paul was when he was in prison. But was he miserable? No. He started praising God. Even though he was beaten. Even though his feet was in the locks. See what I'm saying? The reality is the way to defeat miserable, depressive Christianity is be a praiser of God, hallelujah, and start receiving the seed of promise because the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So therefore, if you don't have joy, it's because you are in unbelief, not in a bad circumstance. This is good preaching, guys. I hope somebody will offer me a little support here and maybe a cup of coffee afterwards with a bagel. Are you with me? If you are miserable, it's because you're in unbelief. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you already there? You see, if you're unhappy, it's because you're in unbelief. Help me, saints. Good time to repent. Everybody repent if you're not happy and not joyous. Okay, I've got to try and wrap this up, but it's too good to let go too quick. I didn't realize it didn't start till 11:30. That's unusually late. Here we go. Are you ready? Confess. Okay, what do you need? Tell me something. Tell me something that people need. Money, health, stuff. Yeah, cars, stuff. Right, four-wheelers. Now, let's talk about four-wheelers. I was told by somebody that last week they actually listened to their pastor preach about faith. And they said, the pastor said, if you say to the mountain that you will be casted, and if you believe in your heart and you believe what you will receive, you will have it. So he started thanking God for his four-wheeler. And he put his coat on and he put his hat on and his gloves on, expecting to see that four-wheeler outside the door, and he went out and wasn't there. Okay, I understand that. I appreciated the faith. But let me tell you something. You can laugh, but he gets one before you do. And okay. The reality is this. Gestation. Are you believing for an elephant or a mouse? If you're believing for a mouse, it only takes between 18 and 20 days to get it. We all know that if you're believing for a baby, it takes 9 months. But if you're believing for an elephant, it takes 22 months. 22 months if you're believing for an elephant. Now, let me say this. If you have diabetes, for instance, that's quite an elephant. And you have to hold fast to a good confession until God comes through. Are you with me? Oh, my diabetes is getting worse. You just pulled the branch off. Can you hear me? You just pulled the branch off. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But if you don't abide, got a headache. Oh, take an Advil. I know that's an usual way out. I understand that. But how about, no, I just conceived a healing. Come on, somebody. I just conceived a healing. Let me tell you a story about conceiving something. I've told it before, but let me tell you again. Getting back to that mountain. What it was, is all I had to pay each month was $1,053 interest. And then at the end of the year, we had a balloon payment of $33,333. It wasn't too bad. Except when it got near to time for the balloon payment. Well, on the third year, I'd paid the 1 year, 2 year, or was it the second year? Can't remember. Second year. The second year, I'm short. I want you to hear this. Mice and elephants. So I sold my friend. I said, John, you know, in 6 weeks' time, I got that balloon payment, $33,333. He said, oh, okay, what do you need today? I said, it's all right for you to talk. You won't even be here 6 weeks from now when I got to come up. He said, what do you need today? I said, listen, don't get funny, man. You're going off. You're going to go back to South Africa. I'm going to be stuck here with a bill for 33. He said, what do you want today? I said, $40. He said, okay, Father, I thank you for $40 for Vaughn. And we receive it. We believe we receive it in Jesus' name. I said, ah. Anyway, someone came to visit me, and we had a cup of tea, and we talked. They asked for prayer. When we went out, they shook my hand, $20 bill. Oh, praise God. I went down to the post office later, got our mail, and there was a $20 check in it. How was that? $40. You see, today, if you hearken to my voice, today, if you hearken to my voice, you're not healed when you feel better by faith. You're healed when you believe it. Didn't Ephiel say prosperity doesn't start in your pocket? It starts in your heart. It starts in your spirit. If you believe you're going to be just as broke next year, you will be. Because as a man believes in his heart, so is he. And if you begin to conceive today that my God will supply all your needs, are you with me? But you've got to conceive it. And if your car breaks down tomorrow, or your fridge breaks down tomorrow, or your four-wheeler doesn't turn up, you're obviously not believing for a mouse. You're believing for something bigger. And it takes longer to get here. I can believe to lay hands on someone with a headache and God will make them better. But you know, when they've got cancer, and then they come up to you in faith, oh, I got cancer. I've got no dominion over their emotions. Are you with me? The confession is so consistent. If you've got a serious ailment and a serious disease, you have to confess and agree with God for the entire 22 months till the elephant is born. You can't say, do you know what? I feel so much better today. And the next day say, oh God. I don't know what's happened. I'm done. I'm finished. There goes your confession. Pull the branch out. Oh, I feel good today. Stick the branch back. Oh, I feel awful. Pull the branch out. And that's why people don't receive. It's because their confession is inconsistent. One day up, one day down, living by their emotions. Let alone when people want prayer for their... Ladies, I'm not going to pick on you, but ladies, I'm going to pick on you. And weak men the same. Oh, did I say that? I did, didn't I? Okay, I'm done with it now. You know, oh God, will you pray for my son? Will you pray for my child? Well, ain't any point. You're in such unbelief. There's nothing I can do. Come on. You can't. God doesn't answer emotion. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can suck as much dust out the carpet as you want. But if you ain't sucking in faith, you're wasting your time. Did I just say that? I don't know. All right, the last thing, I could preach all day. Till somebody fell out the window if we have one. Maybe a church with no windows. Plenty of glass, no windows. That sounds about typical. Anyway, I saw a sign the other day going down towards TLC. And it was a sign in a forest. You know what it said? Wood needed. What? What? Why do you put that sign in the forest saying wood needed? Come, mate, that's what so many Christians are like. So many Christians are like that. They've got Jesus Christ, all the provision they need, and they've got a sign up going, oh, help me. There was a man at the bed. Wasn't there a man who'd been on the bed 38 years? And Jesus said, you want to be healed? He said, I don't have anybody. He said, I'm the Son of God, you dummy. What the heck do you want other than me? You see what I'm saying? Can you get my drift here? Okay, last sound of faith. Are you ready? This is it. Footsteps. Action. If you are not putting action to your faith, it isn't faith. The woman said, if I can touch. Jesus said, get up, pick your bed up, and get out of here. Jesus said, go wash in the pool. Jesus said, stretch forth your withered hand. Jesus said, do something. Are we okay? Unless you are actually taking, oh, I need a job. Why are you here telling me it? Why aren't you out there looking for it? Don't stand here telling me that you're looking for a job. Call me from where you're filling out an application. And say, I'm looking for a job out here, Pastor. Okay, what do you believe in God for? What can I agree with? Oh, I need a job. Oh, shut up, oh ye of little faith. Are you with me? Well, there was a guy, bunch of guys in a boat, miserable night. You know the story. Ah! What's that? Is that a ghost out there? No, it's the master. He's walking on the water. Who the heck did you think it was? And he's coming in. Master, if that's you, wood needed. Here's your sign. Master, if that's you, bid me to come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by a still small voice. And the still small voice said, come. What are you waiting for? Like an embossed invitation? Are you waiting still for Paul's letter to the Kingstonians? Or the Sorgatonians? Or wherever the heckian you live? Can you hear me? If that be you, Lord, bid me to come. Come. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. He got out the boat. Footsteps. Footsteps. I'm waiting to hear some footsteps from some of you young people. Huh? I emailed everybody. Stop it. I emailed everybody about, you know, some of the those in the college and career group as I kind of what's that word when you're doing thing behind a cloak? I lost it. Clandestinely. Is that it? Something like that. Thanks, Stace. Listen, I want to tell you something. I am not going to pursue people to disciple them. In fact, today, I believe, God wanted me to say this. spoke to me yesterday that I am to invite anybody in this church that wants to be discipled. I'm to invite them, and this is the scripture he gave me. Are you with me? See, when I hear things, that you do not become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. Remember Sheldon last week? I said, who believes I got $5,000 in my pocket? And he, because he's smart, he saw Sarah and Grace with their hands raised, so he raised his hand. Because he thought, oh, well, if his girls believe him, I'm better. And I want to encourage you guys. This is it. We're wrapping it up. I know you're saying, thank God. But this was good stuff this morning, man. The sound of faith. Praise loud. Hear God in a quiet voice. Confess consistently. And then I want to hear some footsteps, some action to prove your faith. I want to see you getting out of the boat. I want to see you raising the knife over Isaac. I want to see some action with your faith, or don't come and ask me to disciple you. Father, I just want to thank you for today. I've had a good time. Lord, I hope I've not nagged too strong, but God, I can't preach this stuff quiet. And so, Father, I just want to thank you because we have some powerful, awesome young men and women in this church that need powerful, awesome things. From mice to elephants, from four-wheelers to careers to ministries to your provision to sound health to sound minds to strong emotions. It all can take time, but with faith and patience, we'll inherit these promises, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that all your promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. So, Lord, I bless you for today. I thank you for these awesome people who came here, despite this weather, that they weren't going to live circumstantially, but they lived by faith. So, Father, I thank you that you bless us and you keep us in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together and make our last confession for the day. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I will walk by faith and not by sight, because that that is seen is temporal, but that that is not seen is eternal. I will not have yo-yo faith up and down in the way I believe. I will believe consistently. I will hold fast to a good confession, because your promises are yes and amen, not yo-yo. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and praise. Amen.